It is 9 a.m. in the West Coast, and it is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 6 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is March 13, 2017, and this is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio Studio One, Doug Newsom is in the house, just making sure that everything works fine. And we are going to try to make sense out of all the hoo-ha that is going on around the globe and the Middle East in special. Now, let's start. Right now, we are facing a really, really strange composite of Erdogan, the president of Turkey, acting up in the Netherlands. Against the Netherlands. And what does it mean? It means that there are going to be some kind of conflict between those two countries. They already decided to put away some diplomats. They are not happy with each other, and they are saying it clear and transparent. Now, the question is, now that we have an election going on, are we going to have a problem with a new candidate that was losing in the poll that now is so extreme when he wants to obliterate all those Turkey, tell them not to be involved in Netherlands? Is he going to be the one to be elected? Is Europe is gonna make the same mistake she made before because she was hurt, because she was in pain, because she was frightened, or because she was like ego, devastated? We are not gonna let you guys do that. We want you to be clear and frank about the situation. Yes, Erdogan is acting up. Yes, is not behaving according to the, metaphorically speaking, the rule of conduct that we expect him to go. But it is Turkey, is not Europe. And the fact that somebody said like this incredible, outrageous leader that says that you're never going to be European and you're not a part of Europe and we don't want you in our country. This is not a rhetoric you want to hear from Europe. The fact that you hear it from Turkey, it's normal. Those Muslim countries have a different conduct, and because if they get insulted, they'll go after your neck. But you don't play in that routine. The fact of the matter that the leader of the free world, in the free world, in our free society, in Europe, and under the European auspices, you just have to understand. If you have, a chief in command, you cannot let those players come around and start picking a fight globally with a different continent, for God's sake. And I don't understand how in the heck they have the audacity to stop Turkish people from demonstrating or actually, engaging in some free speech. You're actually trying to block the same preaching that you do usually. You have to understand, you and I, we are all the same level. We are in this game together. The fact that you are trying to have a double game, one for them and one for us, one for you and one for me, it's not working anymore. The world is transparent, and I know there are a few leaders that see it clear, but I want to say something. Erdogan is Erdogan, but you guys follow up to the trap that a classic routine will demonstrate. If a leader of any kind of sort, of a party, of a community is picking up a fight, it's because he has a reason, right? Let's assume. It's that somebody probably heard him. If Hamas is coming to the doorstep of Israel, somebody will stamp on them back. That's a reaction. But we're not talking about a reaction. We're talking Erdogan is picking up a fight. Picking out up a fight because he wants the liberty for his Turkish fellowmen to go and vote for him. in Netherlands. Now, somebody can say, when you send a Trump supporter or Hillary Clinton supporter overseas to make sure they vote for you, is it against the rules? No. So why you stop the Turkish government from doing that? The problem is that I don't buy that routine that this was a demonstration, because by all means, he has no reason to be worried that he's going to lose. He's almost a dictator, right? So let's talk again to the fact that if a leader make a chaos on purpose, means that there is something going on. Guys, don't fall in the trap. It's easy mathematics. Something is up. Now, if you look at the Erdogan action, you will see that he was playing in Syria uninvited, because Assad did not invite Turkey to the game. And they were playing rough with the Kurds. Now, the Kurds are on their spectacle. And they are looking really, really clear and close. They don't want them to be free. And of course, we have the island of Cyprus also that has some kind of conflict. So the question is, Mr. Erdogan, are you for real want to pick a fight with the world? Because it will be really, really pity for Turkey. With all the creation of all those beautiful resorts, a lot of tourism, a lot of new things happening, it will be pity for her to be in a mess right now. I would call on Erdogan, Mr. Erdogan, please pay attention. You don't pick a fight with the European Union, because the European Union is mighty. They have NATO. Probably to protect you too, but it's something in the game. The idea is we want Netherlands to back up. That extreme guy needs to go away, and I hope and I pray that those from Netherlands will never choose an extreme guy like this. Let's have some music, and we'll be after that, and we'll talk, and we'll listen to Nigel Farage. Okay, hold on. Coming after that.
When you try your best but you don't succeed. When you get what you want but not what you need. When you feel so tired but you can't sleep. Stuck in
And we are back. Israel just celebrated Purim holiday. It's a holiday that celebrates the victorious Jewish queen Esther over a very bad guy that wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Like nothing changed after 2,000 years, we still have. And I saw one of the manifests on the poll, and actually I published it too on the page that say, after 2,000 years, the Jews still are fighting to stand clear before the Iranian. And the Iranian used to be some friends of ours for some reason. And I know some Iranian that were in the older regime when there was democracy, freedom, and everybody was happy to deal with them. And they're still a friend, and they are very, very nice people. So I think that the Iranian people are playing it not so good, because they need to have a life, and I hope one day they'll have a life to celebrate, that we can all celebrate, because really I'm done with fighting. Maybe it's because I'm older age, but fighting for business. Let's fight for the good business now. I've been talking. I've been talking to the Italian counterpart in Milan, in other cities in the nation of Italy, and but the business that they have there, so open and so kind to information, and they are they're open for business. So I want you guys to pay attention, because I did open a Facebook page called Italy, where I put Italy, Italia, and Italy in Hebrew. And I put every day that I get the special or whatever they have for sale, like companies that sell ice cream, company that sells a lot of good croissants and stuff that, you know, pastas, pizzas, mozzarellas. You wouldn't believe Italian stuff, and they're already shopped, all packaged nice, and one of the best. It's not the, we're talking about small companies. They're a huge company that they're open for business, because Europe is probably shrinking their capacity, and the market and the consumer is elsewhere. And Italian are really, really good with product. They have outstanding service too. So I think we need to take a look. For example, I've been aware of the fact that they sell wine for $5 a bottle, which is nothing. I know that they go down for the Chinese market that start to drink wine. But the problem is that, you know, China is far away. We're talking about locally. Locally, we need to have a good sales capacity. I'm sure that we're going to do a wonderful job with them. I am sure that they're going to be a great partner to collaborate with. I've been in Italy for too long to understand that there are real people doing real and you in America can always recommend, because Italians are a really great brand of people, and as you know, I love them and I love you all. So I hope that you check my Facebook with Italy on top, and you see, if you like anything, just give me a buzz, let me know. All right, so let's keep on going. What happened in European Union? Nigel Farage has his opinion. Let's listen to that.
Now, President Trump meets with Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel next week. The meeting will take place at the White House. Come on in, please. Nigel Farage, the man behind Brexit and former UKIP leader. All right, Nigel, let's cut all the stuff about immigration aside for one second. I think President Trump will demand that Germany spend more money on its military. Are we prepared? Are you prepared in Europe for the rearmament of Germany?
Well, I've got to tell you that Germany, and in fact most of the EU members of NATO, are not paying their way, haven't been paying their way for years. In fact, Germany is spending nearer 1% of its budget on defence than the 2% that NATO rules suggest. And I think they're going to have some very harsh talks. My worry with all of this is that the European Union are saying to people like Germany, don't worry, spend less, let's have a European army and ditch NATO. And I do not believe that is a good thing for world peace. I think that this is, frankly, the most important discussion that Merkel and Trump can have.
They don't see eye to eye on so many issues, do they? Merkel and Trump, they just don't see eye to eye.
No, they don't. Of course they don't. And, Trump himself has described Merkel's policy of saying anyone that wants to come will find room for you. Trump has called that a catastrophic error. I have to say, I'm very much on Trump's side of this argument, and whenever I've personally met Mrs. Merkel, my relations with her have not been too good, I have to be honest. So no, they're not naturally going to be friends, and it's a big shock for the Germans, because for the last 8 years, President Obama looked towards Germany as being his principal ally in Europe, whereas Trump looks towards the United Kingdom. So this is big change.
Can you bring us up to speed on the two elections in Europe that are coming up? There's one in the Netherlands, I think, this month, where a nationalist guy could win. And then there's the big one in France just a little later. What's the state of play in those two elections, Nigel?
Right. The state of play is that Geert Wilders, his party, the PVV, are in the lead in the opinion polls. I don't think anyone doubts that he will win the election, in the sense that his party will get the biggest number of votes and the biggest number of seats, but it's unlikely he'll be able to form a coalition government. What is happening in France is absolutely fascinating. Marine Le Pen of the Front National, a party that I've never liked very much, although I've got time, I must say, for Marine Le Pen herself. She's in the lead. So here's how it works, guys. It's difficult to explain this to Americans, having just been through your run, but there is a first round. There'll be about 14 candidates, and the top two go through to a runoff, which will take place in May. It's going to be Le Pen against either possibly the former French Prime Minister François Fillon, although he is dogged by allegations of corruption, or it's her against Macron, who, rather like Monsieur Trudeau from Canada, is sort of a pretty boy without much political experience. But if it's Macron v Le Pen, which is what I think it's going to be, it won't just be a battle of personalities, but a battle of ideologies. Macron supports the euro, a United States of Europe, a European army. Le Pen believes in independence. It could be, if that's the runoff, the most important democratic election the West has seen for many, many years.
Give me a prediction, would you? 6 months from now, is the European Union more shaky than it is now because of those two elections?
Do you know something? Even if Le Pen doesn't win outright, she'll win because she'll shift the centre of gravity of the whole European debate in France. The European Union is dying before our very eyes. The only question is, how long will it take?
All right, and we are back. You heard Nigel Farage. He says that at the end we're going to have Marie Le Pen and a pretty boy. And, you know, somebody who's been in politics a little, when you have a pretty boy that does what the old guys want you to do, like to keep their unity of the European Union, to keep everybody in check, and to have a military, you know, emboldening the manhood of the European Union, who you think is going to win? It's like a Hillary and Donald Trump. People were beating here. And I'm saying, you know, of course a man will win because they don't give it to a woman. And I'm not saying it because I'm devastated woman. I'm just saying that mathematics is always, the big boy always win when there is a time to war. And for Marie Le Pen to come from the back with extremists like her father was, and to take over, it's like the Netherlands will win with that, with the Dutch election that will make that extremists win. You understand? Europe has no reason to go extreme. Europe cannot allow itself to go extreme because she needs to be centered. She need to keep the unity. Let's talk about the business factor of this, because I'm talking in relation to business world. I'm talking about the globalized economy, and I'm talking about the condition that we need to prepare for globalized market that are not in play yet. Now, the European Union lost England, but they never actually had England. England never changed the coin, it kept the sterling, so it was like going with, feeling without. Okay, let's be honest. So now they said, okay, we try, you guys, you didn't really work it work very well for us, and they're right, because England is huge. You cannot manage England has to manage you, usually. Okay, let's talk the way the world is. We're not funny. We're not even, humoristic. We're talking about factual, like I'm saying. A pretty boy will win Le Pen because he's a pretty boy and he's a male. That's the fact of the matter. Now, let's talk about the fact that the military in Europe will be dangerous, something that we don't want to have, okay? I don't want to see no Germany, not European. The NATO is probably the only factor that can be utilized, enforced, and prepared, and actually go to an extra mission. That's elevating the level of preparedness. But please, don't think that military will solve any crisis. The crisis is economical crisis, and I'm telling it to the world since 2003. 2001, when the World Trade Center got blew up by those incredible act of of treason for the world, because they hurt the world in the gut. They go after the World Trade Organization and building. Once it collapses, 2001, September, I saw a frozen market. Immediately, everybody were frozen. The media did not to do, not know what to do. Of course, the military had to take action. That's their prerogative and responsibility. But the common denominator of the world was, you know, we're doing business together. Now it collapsed. So it was gone. But since then, nobody took the time to rebuild it. And to rebuild it, you know, not in a building, in virtual reality where you can actually play. And now how many times we're going to talk about it until somebody come with me and start investing in that idea? Because if you guys want to do business, we can do business. And we can do it in a way that nobody ever, ever thought of, that it could be possible. We can join forces. Join forces doing the best thing in the world. We can share information. We can take care of the needy. We can protect the helpless. We can work to, we can make this world the world you all want for your children to have. We have the opportunity. Don't say it's not in our hands. Don't say we have no capacity. Don't say, you know, you have to shrink, because no, you cannot shrink anymore. There is no shrinking to do. The idea is how we explore the joint venture of all togetherness. And every time somebody said to me, you are not allowed in one place and the other is allowed in the other place, it's that extreme voice that tell us the world is still in a dark place. We need those people of light, people that love the world, people who join forces under God to say to the world, we are with you. We're going to work hard. We're going to, you know, buckle our sleeves, and we're buckle up like Michael Pence, the vice president of the USA, say. We're going back to work and work hard. And this is how it's going to do. And this is what Donald Trump is coming all to do in America and for the rest of the world. Because once you ignite that big machine, once that stuck machine of America that got stuck from 2001 and nothing you could do about it and nobody you can blame but those terrorists that did that. And the Saudis never apologized for that. For that matter, I'm still waiting for them to understand or teach us what actually they're praying for if they're destroying one country sometimes and then they go and pray on the other. What God is that when you are destroying anybody or you don't let anybody else leave? What kind of society you guys want to leave? It's up to us. It's up to you. You don't let them free. You don't let people in Turkey kill the Kurds because they don't like them. You don't push them around from the Turks, from Netherlands, because you don't want Turks in Netherlands. You just understand that as long as they play by the rules of society, as long as they play and improve themselves. Listen, we have a long way to go. But the idea is to collaborate and help. Now, working with that is important. We have a master in that game, Mr. Donald Trump, which does everything is in power. And we're going to talk about him soon. Let's start with a new segment, and then we're going to follow up about what Hannity has to say about it.
In New York now and in the United States, we've had a rash of anti-Semitism, over 100 acts of anti-Semitism. And I'm sad to say also in my state, the state of New York. It is disgusting. It is reprehensible. It violates every tenet of the New York State tradition. The relationship between the Jewish community and the people of the state of New York is built on mutual support and respect. It is built on love. And that will not change.
All right. You heard this man. and for everybody else that, you know, you tried to fight against the Jewish people. For some reason, people didn't get what the Jewish people are supposed to do in this world. They're supposed to enlighten. It means we are working for you to make sure you understand an extra mile. We're not talking about you're not smart enough. We're all smart, but we give you a different corner. And what happened today with all this anti-Semitism, but that I think it's only a part of the world terror. Let's be honest. Because the world terror is, you know, they are against us all. It doesn't matter if you're Jew, a Christian, or a non-traditional Arab. They're all against that. They want an extreme Muslim or nothing. So we're all in the midst. But for that matter, we had like, what is it, a $4 billion deal that Intel just signed today with T-Mobile. You know, the new idea of manless vehicle have sensors and all sorts. And this T-Mobile is an incredible company, just made an exit of four, I don't know how much, but billions. It's really, really a rich one. So the state of Israel is more empowered by its people. But I'm still saying, you guys have to understand, I'm not going to tell you that, you know, we have enough successful people. There are a lot of lawyers here, that's for sure. They got tons of lawyers, and I don't know what to do with all of them. They need work, and I hope that they start with international law because that's what the world needs. But what we need is more education system. And the education system needs to be evolving everywhere. Now, let's talk about the fact that the higher education in Israel is divided in a group. And it's a very elitist group that does not play fair. That's why I was begging from Congressman Wilson to help me and help Israel have an American university in Israel so everybody can keep on learning and study. And whoever does not get his chance for schooling in Israel, because they eliminate them at 10th grade. You know, what they do is like 50% of population, they decide, it's not randomly, but the number is always the same. If it's not random, so why it's the same? And they're fighting against it and said, oh my God, this year we have 50% of graduate. It's not true. 50% constantly, it's a fake number. It means that you guys are methodically expel people from your schooling, from the ability to get the chance for education. Then they become a labor force. And there is no place to be a labor force. We don't have factories around here. We have like two or three. All the factory goes to China or goes elsewhere. But it's a time to talk about the fact that they say that many years ago, MGM was the first car company that invested in Israel. And probably you'll have to invest for one reason only, because I'm not saying that the worker here are much faster. I'm not saying that they are greater. I'm not saying anything of a sort. But I'm saying that with you putting a factory in Israel, where we have land forever, forget it. It's such a small land, the Judea, Samaria, that part where they are the disputed territory, just build a place to work and see how everybody's playing along. All right? Let's forget that. Business is always good for peace. So building those factories around here, you'll get the innovation, you know, edge of Israel, because you can mix together, you can go to those conferences, like I go once a week, once in 2 weeks, to all those intelligence community that works about ideas of how to manufacture a digital home, wise home. You know, you're going to the mall today. You have a place where you have a digital home exposition. It's like it's all over you. And having a factory, it can change your dimension by far. So I would say that even on a small scale, listen, Lockheed Martin is here, okay? It's a big company. For them to have an open office in Israel means that they have a reason for that. And they are using it to improve their F-16, F-18, I don't know what. But it doesn't matter. We need them to be stronger so the world gets better. That's what I'm saying. This where we need hospitals, new hospital facility. Guys, Israel is crushing with overwhelming quantity of people that needs medical attention, and they have none. We have a problem there. You see, guys, the Prime Minister of Israel been investigated forever. Okay, let's say it. I never talk about it because it's annoying to the core, because they have no reason to investigate him. And if they complain and think that he overused his power, they need to put the line in the sand and say, this is it, they passed. But if not, they're just dragging him through the investigation for years. It's like Lieberman. They did it the same. It's not fair. It's not classy. It's not correct. If he did something wrong, you need to put it on the table. If not, just let it be. Or keep it later. But if it's not so factual, why? So Israel being neglected by him, because if you like it or not, he's holding most of the power. He's holding... For example, the Minister of Communication, they just took it off his end because they said that he's overreached. And now somebody else is doing it, which I didn't hear him at all. And, you know, celebrating 50 years of Jerusalem without any notification just annoy me to the core. Then you have the Minister of Foreign Affairs, which... It's ridiculous. Usually, you know, the Secretary of State go visit and then he talks to the Prime Minister. He go visit and make another regime. It's much nicer when you have more entourage, for that matter. You need to have also the reflection and the mobility and the flexibility of having a larger government. But it's not it. It takes it control. You're talking about Erdogan. We're talking about Benjamin Netanyahu. That is really all-powerful, because you cannot say a word in Israel before, you know, the media gets smashed, of course. And now they are going to revoke all their ability to even perform, because they're taking them off the air soon. March, at the end of March, I think. So we're talking about not correct items that we're having in display here. And for me, to see children suffering from, you know, a cancer patient being moved from children department to elderly department just to save some bucks for somebody, I don't know what kind of a matter is it. And I really am sick and tired of that. I'm sick and tired of that behavior that I'm calling every day. I'm asking them, open the door, let me help, because you guys are, are in negligence. But are you kidding? They want to open the door to a mosquito. It's like dictatorship is not their style, obviously, because there is a democracy. But to say that I'm happy, I'm not happy. I'm not happy to see those children being removed. I'm not happy to see those children of the Bedouin that have been pushed around. And I'm not happy with the court that evacuate people, you know, like in the green light, behind the green light, just to throw them in the street for no reason. You see, action of cruelty demonstrate a very, very bad management. If anybody become cruel to people as a leader, by all means, God is in charge. And I'm not happy with that. So I want to say something. I want to tell you all, be kind to yourself. Be kind to your people. Be kind to your worker. Because it's their day. It's their life. Someday it's their last day. Sometimes it's the only life they have. Sometimes you are the only contact with the universe they have. please be kind, because they have a life and they need to breathe and have love in it and, you know, be created human under God. So we all the same. Let's get some music and we'll be back after that.
I found a love for me. Darling, just dive right in. Follow my lead. Well, I found a girl, beautiful and sweet. Well, I never knew you were the someone.
And we're back. That was beautiful. Now, listen to this. Assad, the president of Syria, says that Europe, America, and Israel are supporting the terrorist, a man that killed hundreds of thousands of people, that is still in office, and the world did not make its mind if he still belongs there, and they let them be, and he's blaming everybody else. And he said something else that really annoyed me. And I know that Assad, we all gave him a break, not wanting the world go crazy there. So he stayed. But he annoyed me because he said, we did not invite the American to come to Syria. Okay. So I have a knowledge of some very important refugees that are in the mix. An American interest is to save some lives as much as they can. And of course, to create some kind of peace and prosperity, for that matter, in the future. America has the authority to go there, because Assad, you're out of control. Your country went out of control, devastating millions of people. You have no saying who is coming if it's agreeable upon the alliance forces. So I suggest that the world needs to take a second chance and maybe think about some replacement there, because it's not going to be funny. And if he wants to act up, you know, he's going to, let's say that. Now that Mubarak is going to be free, out of jail now, the world is going to change, because Mubarak is going to be in charge of at least the thought of the matter of the Arab world. He has that power. He's got the influence. I hope he's healthy, but he can do that. So we have to prepare for the day when Mubarak is free. And Assad, prepare your, you know, hideaway. Maybe in the tunnel near Hezbollah, the guy that is hiding since 2006, 11 years that he's in the hiding. And he's talking a big talk against everybody else, but he's hiding in a tunnel, in a cave. For God's sake. Now, you guys remember, there is a God and it's not us. And it's going to be over before long, because I'm guessed that God has enough with that routine of terrorism. And for some reason, the world start to fighting between each other in the European Union, which is not cool. We need to remember, you know, Europe, France is going to stay with the Union. The Union is going to be okay, because they need each other, but we have to keep Turkey out of the game. Anyway, let's go listen to the next one. What do we have to say? What Hannity has to say, something that I want to really, really comment about.
Now, for weeks, we've been warning you about the deep state Obama holdover government bureaucrats who are hell-bent on destroying this president, President Trump. Tonight, it's time for the Trump administration to begin to purge these saboteurs before it's too late. That's tonight's opening monologue. Let's go back to 1861. President Abraham Lincoln, he created, you know, a team of rivals, a so-called team of rivals, a cabinet of rivals. including adversaries that he ran against in the Republican primary. But while President Lincoln sought to unify his party through cabinet selections, he also executed an extensive government purge. He fired over 75%, nearly 1,200 people out of 1,500 bureaucrats that worked in the executive branch, who President Lincoln feared could be disloyal. It's time now for President Trump to follow Abraham Lincoln's example and fire anyone and everyone who is actively working against him in government. After all, even former President Bill Clinton, he utilized this tactic back in 1993. He fired all 93 U.S. attorneys, all of them. Now, according to Conservative Review's Daniel Horowitz, sacking imposing government employees is best utilized at the start of administration. He writes, quote, Clinton easily fired all 93 U.S. attorneys on day one. Nobody blinked an eye. Yet when Bush's attorney general fired 8 U.S. attorneys well into his second term, well, that became a national scandal. So it's very important for President Trump to act right now and not just avoid outrage from the left. That's not what this is about. Because he's got to end the leaks that are plaguing this administration. Major leaks, like the ones you see right there on your screen, started just 5 days after President Trump was sworn into office. Now, the explosion of these leaks coincides with a New York Times report that says, in his final weeks in office, President Obama revised Executive Order 12333, which allows the widespread sharing of this raw data collected by American intelligence agencies across 17 government agencies. Now, that is an additional 16 agencies and their employees who, in the final 2 weeks, when Obama was in office, who gained access to top secret intelligence that they never had access to before. Now, we've been asking for weeks on this program, why did President Obama wait until the last minute to do this? And why didn't he apply this to himself for 8 years? Now, Congressman Duncan Hunter, he's expressing serious concern about what we see playing out. And take a look at what he said earlier today.
Overall, I think that they're dealing with seditious people within the Department of Justice, within the FBI, within the Department of Interior, within the CIA. There's people that don't approve of the Trump presidency, and I think that they're trying to take him down from the inside. That sounds kind of conspiratorial, but I think that's what Trump's looking at right now. I think you have people within the government, what you call the deep state, bureaucrats, Obama appointees, that hate Donald Trump.
And Congressman Steve King, he tweeted the following. Donald Trump needs to purge leftists from the executive branch before disloyal, illegal, and treasonous acts sink us. Now, it's important that the president begin to hear this and act now. Now, for months, deep state antagonists, they've been working overtime to try and delegitimize Donald Trump's presidency. And we have seen how low they'll go by insinuating without any evidence that there's some sort of campaign collusion with Russia. There's no evidence. It's not true. And just days ago, WikiLeaks published some very disturbing information about the CIA. According to Julian Assange, CIA operatives are able to access televisions of American citizens, smartphones, other devices, and actually record sound, images, and even encrypted messages on your iPhone or your Android. And that's not all. WikiLeaks is also alleging that the CIA has the ability to utilize very sophisticated malware that can make it appear that cyber activity is being conducted by other nations when, in fact, they, meaning those within our government, may be responsible. Now, WikiLeaks, in their press release, specifically points out that they could be doing this in the case of this Russian narrative with no evidence. And by the way, did President Obama know about any of these sophisticated spy programs developed and used by the CIA? Now, we can't confirm that any of this is actually being practiced, but we need to start asking serious questions if we want privacy in this country. Now, back in January, you may remember, I traveled to London. I interviewed Julian Assange. He told me his source repeatedly was not the Russians. You may remember this. I've asked you before, I'll ask you again today. Did Russia give you this information or anybody associated with Russia?
Our source is not a state party. So the answer for our interactions is no.
And that's not all. Former British Ambassador Craig Murray, he told the Daily Mail that the 2016 Clinton campaign email hack, it actually came from within the Democratic Party, and that the hacked information was given to him in a public park at a university right here on American property. Can you believe that? All on behalf of the Democratic Party, their own whistleblower. Now, my message tonight is simple. every holdover from the Obama administration, they need to go. And a thorough investigation of leakers needs to be conducted. And people who have committed felonies, violated the Espionage Act, like in the case of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, they need to be prosecuted. And all of those who aren't actively working to fix the country need to be shown the door. It's hurting a lot of people.
WikiLeaks was saying about CIA, it's the fact that we already know about what's all happening. You know, WikiLeaks maybe wants to be a player bigger than he is, because you can, I can throw to you like a bunch of documents, say, oh, you know, you guys are doing that. But the fact of the matter is, you go to a Hollywood movie, like Enemy of the State, you see the trick with the television that the CIA can penetrate it. It's years ago. Everybody knows that. And the fact that they have satellite that can follow you, if they want, they can do anything. That's the problem, you know, with the Patriot Act, that they need to, you know, make sure that they have the right paper for that. It's not like they couldn't, and the fact that they didn't. And probably, you know, if Donald Trump said that they are they were listening to him, it's because somebody was quoting what he said. It's really easy or strange when you see when you hear something that it's a repeat of what you say. It means that somebody was listening. So please don't pretend you didn't listen. Just go on with that, because you didn't know he's going to be the president. And for WikiLeaks, you know, just get a plea deal or whatever, because, you know, pushing a button and throwing up so much paper, what a waste. You know, there are trees in the world. You need to keep them safe. Anyway, guys, I'm kidding. We're going to talk about more after some music.
I know you're always waiting.
All right, guys. It's been a wild week, let's say, for everybody. Israel had a holiday. The Jewish people had. I hope that they had the celebration in a good way and a good mode and keep it safe. And I want to pray with all of you to have a better week this week than the last week. Let's do our best to make it better. Let's do our best to stand up and come to the play. And I was listening to one of those motivation speakers, and Nightingale, he says, try to get that 1 hour earlier than everybody else. And 1 hour early can make a difference in your day, because you can read the paper, do all the planning of the day, take a time to for yourself, and then start the day on self, you know, self-centered and understandable mode to create a better day for you. It's all up to us. It's in our hands. We need to make it happen. And you can do it, and we shall do it, and we all gonna make it. So the idea is to be the people of the light, to make it happen. Be in the light, trusting God, because he'll help you. You know, do your best, and he'll do the rest, all right? So with all my best from the Holy Land, Israel, and Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, may we bless the messenger of peace that coming today to meet in Jerusalem, and may it will be a fruitful, and may we continue in a different direction all together. God bless you all. I love you from here in Israel. Talk to you next week. God bless. Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.